Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? We sell dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic. A psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
A new year for blockbusters and a new open to the movie show.
Nice.
Steve Sales, Andy Farnsworth, we are live at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters at Jordan Commons in Sandy, and we are so excited today because for the first time in 2024, our big movie of the week is a truly big movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't get any bigger than Denis Villeneuve and his adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. Dune Part 2.
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes. Them great houses here are equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Maybe I'll show you the way.
Now, that's the scene where Tom Holland immediately got on the phone and said, we need to make another Spider-Man movie so me and Zendaya can get back on screen together.
You're breaking up my relationship.
That doesn't want to lose her to Timothy Chalamet in real life. But Dune Part 2. Now, before we talk about Dune Part 2, we should say you really need to watch Dune Part 1 before you watch Dune Part 2. We're going to talk a lot about it. There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm about it. But you really should see Dune Part 1 first.
Mainly because they don't go previously on Dune.
They do not. They jump right in.
You better be ready to go.
And so in Part 2, we've got Timothy Chalamet's Paul Atreides. He wants revenge on the people called House Harkonnen. They were the ones responsible for, minor spoiler for one, killing his entire clan except for him and his mom. And they now run the spice trade on the planet. And this is where we start out in Part 2.
Right.
And it's on the planet Arrakis. And now Jessica and Paul are living with the Fremen. These are the native people on the planet Arrakis. And Paul's got some feelings for a Fremen girl named Shani. That's who Zendaya plays. And, you know, probably because she looks exactly like Zendaya, who wouldn't have feelings for a Fremen girl that looks like Zendaya?
Yeah, no.
But at any rate, he's struggling with the fact that many of the Fremen see him as a possible messiah. And while he doesn't want that responsibility or burden, he also starts to realize that embracing that might be exactly what he'll have to do to get the revenge he wants.
It almost seems like he's backed into corners in a lot of these movies that he has to make decisions that aren't easy. And realizing that, okay, I don't really want to do this, but maybe this is the best choice. He has to make choices in difficult situations that I don't think he would really. I mean, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
And this, the now, beginning
he,
of this.
He's supposed to be about, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20 years old, and Timothy Chalamet is older than that. So for me, I know that's how old he's supposed to be, but in my brain, he's like 25 years old as I watch it.
Yeah.
But if you were like, okay, let's say he really is supposed to be 18, and you say, like, I know this character's 18, then it does make those things even more, wow, that is a tough spot to be in at that age.
And you're also going to have to learn a lot of new names.
Yes. Thankfully, because they speak the language that Villeneuve came up himself for the movie, there's a lot of subtitles that help you see people's names that you can associate. That really does help, believe
it does,
or not.
It does, yeah. Well, especially like the name of some of the organizations, like the witches there,
Bene Gesserit.
Bene Gesserit. That's a biggie.
Yes.
That's a name
you're going to... But that's why watching Part 1, I think, will help. I will say this. Despite my well-established nerd credentials, I had never read Dune, and I only remembered vaguely once watching the 1984 Dune movie, and mostly what I remember were some horrific images.
Yeah, that was
what happened.
That was a strange movie.
So when I came into Dune Part 1, I was a blank slate. I didn't know. I mean, I knew there was worms. I knew there was spice, and that's about all I knew. Yeah. And there was a big fat blob guy that was the bad guy.
Yeah,
Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. I didn't know his name, but Villeneuve. One of the things that I think is so great about this series is the way he walks you through everything. Not spoon-feeding you, but not, like, trusting that you've already read the book or that you know all the characters. He finds ways in telling of the story for you to find out Paul's training in Part 1, and you learn a little bit of the history of the planet Arrakis because he's learning it. And so it gives you, the complete novice, a chance to not feel like you know, my two of my best friends who I brought to the screening, they've read the books, and so they had all the story stuff in their head already. And I'm usually that guy with these kind of movies.
Yeah.
But for this one, blank slate, and I just have loved, loved, loved it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I thought that it was a cinematic spectacle. I don't think I've seen anything quite like this. Villeneuve did an incredible job, not only the big pictures, but the small stuff when you're really in close and having these interpersonal relationships, fights and whatever, you know, it just the feel of this whole movie is there. My only thought was that unless you remember everything that happened in the first one, and it's been a couple years, that Paul, his character, does some things as he becomes part of the Fremen that I would have liked to have explored a little bit more. When he fights a guy at the end of one and then finds out that he has the responsibility now that, you know, the guy is not going to be around, that he has to take responsibility for the family.
Yeah, they didn't mention
they
that.
They barely
really
did. They barely did in the movie. But when you read the book, there's a lot more detail there about what is his responsibility to the wife and the two kids that are left behind. And I thought that was really part of the character building of Paul Atreides. And then when he's being trained to, you know, ride the sandworms and how to do the little, you know, walk in the sand so the sandworms don't hear you. All that training, I thought, would have been, there's just a little bit, and then they whisk you off.
I think what's so impressive is that this had the potential, basically what people tried to, when they tried to describe Dune to me, my first thought is, ugh. What's about sandworms and it's all these things that sound like if I tried to describe it to people, I don't even really try to describe this to people now, even though I'm so excited about the movies. I just say,
it's just so complex.
Just go watch it. He'll tell you, a good filmmaker can tell you the story without you feeling like he's having to force feed you all of the story.
Right.
That's what's so good about this series so far. Dune Part One was my favorite movie of 2021. And this would have been my favorite movie last year had it come out when it was originally scheduled to be released. And it's already my front runner for best movie of 2024. And again, this is not
March.
A long time Dune fan. But everything about it, I mean, the visuals blow you away.
They do.
They complement the story. They don't distract from it. The planet that Austin Butler's character lives on, Fade Rautha. The scenes, it's a black sun. Everything about it. Ah, I could gush about this forever.
No, I get it. And I'm sure people will enjoy it. I don't know. It's just, it's such a unique world that it encompasses a lot of things that you kind of have to pay attention to. But Villeneuve did a great job of individual scenes. Like, you know, when those guys are flying up that mountain go get the, I mean, that was just as cool as can be. That's just one segment. And then he moves to another segment. And they kind of are all little self-contained little mini movies that you just like, whoa, was awesome.
The Fade Rautha battle. It's like you forgot that you're not even on the desert planet anymore for this whole scene. You're just so wrapped up in what's going on.
Well, that's what they do in the book. It'll go so far with the Fremen, and then they'll go back to the House of Harkonnen. So, you're getting both stories. And it's a marvel. No question about it.
Well, for me, this was the music. I mean, we're hearing that they're playing the soundtrack in the background here at the Megaplex Theaters, and I'm digging it. It's like the perfect vibe.
It is kind of almost a
Hans Zimmer did the
Middle
score
Eastern
for this.
Feel to it. It's just I gave this an A-. I was just hoping, and the problem is I took a friend who had read the books religiously and was filling me in afterwards about the little details of his character building. And I thought, dang it, I would have liked to have seen that in the film. But I get it. 2 hours and 46 minutes. It was time to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We got to mention it is that long, 2 hours 46. I will say, having seen it twice, I thought it might feel even longer the second time. But I felt like it actually went faster the second time.
I didn't feel the length at all. I was not bothered by the length. I thought it was a perfect length.
So that is Dune Part 2, the big movie of the week. I give it an A. Steve gives it
an A-.
And it is rated PG-13. But where is the place that you should see such a movie like this?
If only we knew of
such a place. I'm so glad you asked, because we are now joined by Jeff Whipple and Larry Tassone from the Megaplex Theaters. Well, what did you think? We got to get your thoughts on this, Jeff.
Wow. I hear this description, and I am thrilled that there was that much fan connection to those who were dialed in so closely to the book. I was not among that crowd. The first film I thought was much slower, But it takes a lot of work to create that kind of a world. So I was patient with it. This one knocked me over. It checked all the boxes as a fan of movies. The storytelling was phenomenal. The soundtrack, amazing. The scenery, epic. The world creation and conflict and all the drama was there. There was romance. It just checked so many different boxes. And it's just such a big movie.
Epic.
Yeah.
It's an experience. And that's why I'm glad you brought that up, because this isn't – there's some movies you can watch. I know, Steve, we talk about character dramas, and those are really cool. And sometimes they are good on the big screen, too, because it makes you feel like you're up close in a character drama.
Yeah.
But then there's movies like this where if you're watching it on a small screen, you are not getting the experience that this is designed to give you.
The audiences in the IMAX auditoriums here at Megaplex, we have 5 IMAX screens. I've been outside of the auditorium. I've been inside the auditorium here at Jordan Commons. There is not only sound, but there is sensation because of the sound system.
Oh, no question. The rumble.
Feeling this movie.
When you see Paul coming over the horizon in what has to be the biggest granddaddy sandworm of all time, and everybody's like, dude, what are you doing? Man, you're going to get killed.
We told you to call a big worm, but not that big.
Yeah, and just it's unbelievable. The sensation of that rumble. Of that sandworm coming through was extraordinary.
And I say this all the time, Jeff, when you guys have big movies at Megaplex. There's something about experience. It would have been an awesome experience if I was the only one in the theater with that big screen and everything like that. But especially the second time when I could sneak a peek away from the screen and it was like the theater was brightly lit. When you go into a sand planet, it lights up the whole theater.
Right.
And I looked and just saw the whole place just packed. And everybody, the communal experience, you can't beat it.
As a gathering place, there is something magical that happens when people are gathering and following and rooting for the same hero, booing the same villain. It feels very old school that way. But there is something that transforms us as people, I think. We become very connected. And the experience after the fact, in fact, the first two times we've had advanced screenings, we had screenings, see it first screening Sunday night, and then again on Monday with special screenings, and the audiences clapped at the end of the film.
Yeah.
And then people lingered because they were comparing notes. And that's something that great storytelling does. It did you see this? What did you think of that? That's the kind of thing. And the other part that is so much fun for us is it's generational. We saw families with younger kids, 13, 14 years old. It's PG-13, so be advised. There's some intensity here. But we saw generations of families gathering, families and friends, some who were well-versed in this and others who were not. But it brought people together, and they had similar debates, which was fun.
Well, we're going to talk about this and so much more as we celebrate Dune Part 2 at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. Of course, you guys have one as far north as Logan. We were talking with my friend who goes to the one in Logan, but he really liked coming here to the one in Sandy.
People are making a trek to see it on the biggest screens available.
As they should. And so plenty of screens to choose from at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
Steve, we asked our text question of the day for our listeners is, what is your favorite middle chapter of a movie trilogy? As we talked about Dune Part 2, we've got a lot of different ones. So here's no surprise. We were talking about this during Dave and Dujanovic when we were asking them, and they, they said Empire Strikes Back.
Dave decided that number two was...
The Dark Knight. We've actually got some votes for that. Here's Dark Knight, the best. Our texture says Heath Ledger is Joker, amazing. Let's see. Empire Strikes Back, 1, 2, 3 different votes.
Sure.
We've got a vote for Back to the Future 2 as the best middle chapter.
Really?
Okay. Hey, I liked it. I remember as a 14-year-old, I was dying to see it. So.
Yes.
And it influenced
maybe
the
compared
future.
To 3, it was definitely better than 3.
All right, so we'll keep those text questions.
Nobody's for The Godfather.
Nobody's for The Godfather Part 2.
It won Best Picture that year.
I am actually one of those people that thought The Godfather Part 1 was better than Part 2.
Well, it is. I mean, sometimes when you
set the
standard.
I actually don't get why people love 2 so much more than 1. To say that it's better than the original, I don't know. And maybe we'll get some texts on that at 57500, because I may have just spoken blasphemy to a generation of moviegoers.
Well, no. I mean, it was just a great film.
Okay. But keep it coming, 57500, your favorite middle chapter of a movie trilogy. Steve, let's review us Outlaw Posse.
Oh, could we?
Some years later, I was sent on a mission to retrieve it with your father.
And then he disappeared.
I don't even know if my father's alive or dead. We weren't exactly on the best of terms.
Your daddy was spotted in a border town near Mexico.
He's putting together a team to go after my gold.
Steve, when the laws are unjust, the just are outlaws.
Ooh, well, that seems like a
tagline for the movie. All right, so set in 1908, Chief, played by Mario
Van Peebles. Oh, and the reason it's set to 1908, I'll tell you in a second.
Okay, but Chief, the main character, played by Mario Van Peebles,
yes.
He comes back from years of hiding in Mexico to claim stolen gold hidden in the hills of Montana, but a bad guy named Angel, played by William Mapother, I know who he is, but I don't know how to say his name, but Angel wants the gold, and he's leaving a trail of dead bodies to get it.
Yes, he sure is.
All right.
This is the most name-dropping. By the way, you're a friend of mine. You better be in this movie. Whoopi Goldberg is Stagecoach Mary.
Okay.
She has 2 scenes, driving a stagecoach, and, you know, pulls out a shotgun. You only got 8 toes. He goes, what do you mean? You will after I pull this, you know, shotgun. Cedric the Entertainer is in this movie.
Okay.
Cam
Gigande?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
He's in it for 8 seconds.
Well, he's pretty.
There's a bunch of people that, you know, drive by. Neil McDonald is in it.
Oh, yeah.
He's in it for 8 seconds. Emmett Walsh, who I thought was dead, is in this movie for 8 seconds.
Not.
And so he's, like, calling in all these favorites. Basically, there's a lot of name dropping. They rob a bank at one point, calling themselves Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The Hole in the Wall gang. But the twist here is that Mario just happens to be standing there, and he goes, oh, I don't want anything to do with this. And then they make him, you know, get the money out, even though he's part of the gang. And then right after that, talk about bursting the balloon. The guy goes, that couldn't have been Butch and Sundance. They were gunned down in Bolivia just a month ago. And I'm like,
yeah, that's the only reason it couldn't have been Butch and Sundance, right?
And that's why the movie set in 1908. That's the only
reason. So they
could
name drop Butch and Sundance?
Yes.
Wow.
And then they have Jack Johnson, the famous boxer. He shows up at a honky-tonk, and they just introduce him. Like, here's
okay.
Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion. And then there's no follow-up to that whatsoever.
Okay.
At some point, I just like...
But was it fun?
Well, it's funny in parts, but it's just so silly.
What would you give it?
I gave it a C.
A C, and it's rated?
It's rated R.
Rated R, and that is Outlaw Posse, and that is playing at a lot of different things. Really quick.
I'm blaming Larry, by the way, for this one.
All right, so that is Outlaw Posse. Let's get back with our friends here at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theater.
Who will never speak to me again.
They were like, we were about to have some great sales on that, Steve, until you just said that.
I brought that in just for Steve. I thought that was his kind of movie.
Well, swing and a miss.
Now, Larry Tassoni, I always ask your official title because I don't want to get it wrong, but you're the
film
booking
buyer.
Guy.
Film buyer.
I call you the booking guy, not a bookie.
Bookies. Yeah, either way. I answer to all sorts. You know, I'm easy.
So if you want a movie to come to the Megaplex Theaters, Larry's the guy you want to make sure he knows about it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you got to talk to me so I can get it on our screens.
Now, Larry, so... Outlaw Posse hits the same day as Dune, Part 2.
Yes.
What are some other...
It's counter-programming is the industry term.
I believe so. Do we have any other counter-programming coming?
Oh, every week.
Because this week there's a lot of big movies coming this month. We've got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire later in the month. We've got Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla Times Kong or Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla X Kong is the official
Godzilla
way to speak
Kong.
It.
It's X
from the studio. I asked them that in a meeting. Is that how you say it? Because that's
kidding,
how they said it to me.
No, you were right.
It rolls off the tongue. Godzilla X Kong. We have Kung Fu Panda 4 for the families. That's
right.
Going to be coming out.
Yeah.
We have Arthur the King, which I just recently screened, and it is fabulous. That's the based on a true story Mark Wahlberg film with the dog that follows them through a. Adventure race. I don't know what they call it now off the top of my head.
Yeah, with a title like Arthur the King, it's exactly what you'd think. Mark Wahlberg and a dog.
Exactly. Yeah, I've had family members go, another another King Arthur movie? You know,
yeah. Where's the round table?
So there, we've got lots of great product coming in March for every demographic, whether you're family with young kids, all the way up to the Outlaw Posse fans.
Well, and so, well, I mean, as when we get to our movie show top 10 this week, there's an anime film that's number 2.
Yes. Yeah.
That's playing right now. Is it?
Yeah, Demon Slayer, Demon the latest Slayer, version right. of the yes. Demon Slayer series. It was one of our top films for last weekend and continues to do well moving into this weekend. It's, I think nationally the projections are that it'll be in the top 3. So for an R-rated anime film, that's saying something.
You know, one thing people ought to do, and we got to take a break for news, traffic, and weather here, but the MegaplexTheaters.com, one of the great things you guys have is it's really easy to find the list of everything that's up and coming, including stuff that could be later this fall. But that was where I saw some of these titles that I hadn't heard much about. I mean, I review movies, and sometimes I don't hear about it. I find out about them for the first time on your guys' website. Oh, that's coming out.
Yeah, the Coming Soon page on our website, you can sort it by popularity or by release date, but we put things on there as soon as we know we're going to bring it in. It's a great resource, and I always say to all of our movie fans, let us know what you're looking for, because sometimes we haven't heard of a movie until a guest reaches out to us and says, hey, I'd love to see this in your theaters. We just recently booked a Chinese language film called YOLO, that opened for the Lunar New Year in China as one of their top grossing films. That's going to be coming into the Valley Fair location next week. So we bring in specialty content.
And Land
all the
of
time.
Bad was really a great.
Yeah, that was a great film. Yeah. I agreed with you. I think that was my favorite film from that week.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what some of the other titles that are coming, and a lot of great things at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters all up and down Utah.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, it's not just Dune Part 2 that's coming out this week, even though I could still talk about it probably for the whole length of our show.
Yeah, all right,
but eventually we'd end up wandering into spoiler territory and making somebody upset, as they should, because I want people to experience it as best they can. So let's review some of the other things that are coming out this week. In fact, we're not going to review it because we didn't get a chance to see it, but we definitely want to make mention that as of yesterday, The Chosen Season 4, Part 3. This is the third set of episodes.
So 7 and 8
that are screening together. During the month of February, the fans have had a chance to watch all the episodes in theaters, the first time that's ever happened with a TV show. Now the final two episodes are here, and you get to see Jesus bring Lazarus back to life. And then that sets off the chain of events that will lead to Jesus' arrest, although that's not going to happen, or the crucifixion in the next season. In fact, I was doing some research.
What are they going to really do?
Crucifixion is not going to happen until season 6, and the resurrection is season 7. So they have already planned out 7 seasons of The Chosen.
Wow.
This is season 4. I believe season 5 is going to be the Passion Week.
Okay.
But if you want to see The Chosen, this is the thing that matters, and I know our friends at Megaplex want to make sure people realize this. It's only going to be in theaters until March 10th, so you can't wait and be like, oh, we'll catch it in a few weeks.
Right.
You only have a couple of weeks right now to go see The Chosen.
So when does it hit TV, though? Is it still later down?
That's the thing. So they have not announced that. So the earliest it could come to TV is March 11th, or not to TV, but to streaming on the Angel Studios website is March 11th. But they haven't said that it's going to. They just said that this is going to be in theaters until March 10th.
Well, why not? I mean, they can make it $10, $12 million, you know, in advance. Why not?
Probably could. I don't know. We're starting to get into like more and more theaters lose. I don't know. That's something our friends at Megaplex could maybe.
Probably explain. Larry's pulling his hair out.
Yeah, these are hard dates. We don't have any flexibility. We had people came and said, the second set of episodes started and we didn't get to see the first set and we don't want to start in the middle. And we had no ability to go back and replay those again.
Oh,
so you've got to see them in the window of time that they're available.
Read the book.
Oh, yeah.
I have read the book on this one. I haven't read Dune, but I have read the book on this one. All right, so that is The Chosen Season 4, Part 3. It is available now for those of you who've watched the first segments. It's there, but it will only be there until March 10th. So, Steve, let's review a different movie. We're already done with the theatrical ones that we were able to
Well, there was
to
a
see.
Horror film that we didn't get
Amelia's
Children. Did you see that one, Lawrence? No.
I did not get a chance to see that one. That one was one that actually came to us kind of last minute on Monday when we were getting everything booked for the weekend. And the trailer looks kind of interesting, intriguing, but I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing.
Okay.
So that's all the theatrical. So we are already going to get into our streaming stuff. And let's review Spaceman.
Oh, boy.
189 days into your solo journey.
What I'm doing is for everyone back home, and that makes me very proud.
He's not doing well. He misses his wife, and he shouldn't have left.
So I did not get to see this one, but here's the plot synopsis. Half a year into a solo mission to the edge of the solar system, Adam Sandler's astronaut, who's concerned with the state of his life back on Earth, helped by, this is officially from the studio,
oh, okay,
an ancient creature voiced by Paul Dano that he discovers in the bowels of his ship. And as I was researching this, Steve, I found this little tidbit. The movie was in post-production for almost 3 years because of mixed reactions from test audiences.
I'm curious to see what you think. Well, it's weird. I'm glad they brought it up, this creature, because it's really pivotal to the movie. You got a guy in space. He's been out there 189 days. He left his wife back.
He missed the Earth so much, he misses his wife.
Well, I know where you're headed there. Carrie Mulligan plays his wife, and it's a serious Adam Sandler movie. This is not a funny movie.
Wow.
Yeah, and so he
gets
up there.
Maybe that's the mixed reactions.
And I think it gets to the point where she wants to, get a divorce. She's like, man, I don't know what you're doing up there, 189 days, and you're only halfway through your mission. And do you not want to be with me? And so all those self-doubts start to creep into his wife, and they have this weird connection where they can talk to each other on some Czechoslovakian link thing or Chechenian link, which was weird.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be from somewhere in the Eastern Europe.
Yeah, he's
does he have an accent the whole movie?
No, not at all. Boy. He didn't even dare have
He's got one. His Brooklyn accent.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's from, Eastern European country, and yet, so he's worried that, I'm going to lose my wife. And then this creature shows up, and it looks like a big black spider.
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I know people freak out. I mean a giant spider. We're talking 3-4 feet across. And
okay, I'm really out.
And it's Paul Dano's voice. And he's the sweetest guy on the planet.
Did he tell him to invest in GameStop? Did the spider give that advice by
any chance? Yeah, he should have. That would have been helpful. No, but he's telling him, he's like, all right, what's going on with you and your wife? And he goes, I'm not talking to you, you weird creature. At first, he's very standoffish. I don't even want you in this part of the ship. In fact, I don't even know if you're real. I might be losing my mind. And that's what I was thinking. The guy's making
it's lonely out in space.
It is. And he's trying to get to one of the rings of Jupiter called the Chodra Cloud, which we don't really know about.
Right.
So they want to fly through it and gather information. But this creature's like, yeah, I'm here too to kind of go through that cloud for a different reason. But in the meantime, I want to help you. I want to help you figure out your relationship with your wife. And so he becomes this space support animal.
It's my emotional support spider.
Exactly.
Allow me to take it on the airplane.
And he has the most amazing advice. He's like, now, dude, let's talk about what does she really want from you, and what are you not giving her? And it becomes this, like, Lucy in Peanuts, with a 5-cent, except his advice is a lot better than Lucy's. It's just the strangest little movie. And, I don't know what to tell you. I watched it, and I thought, okay, somebody smoking weed wrote this plot.
So what would you give it?
I think I gave it a C.
Please tell me it's not as high as a C.
Oh, I gave it a B minus.
A B. Wow.
Well, because
the advice
is really good.
Oh. I moved this guy from an average to an almost good movie because the advice the spider gives is that good.
He might save some marriages, that spider.
All right. Watch Adam Sandler's Spaceman on Netflix so you can
save your marriage.
The marriage spider. Oh, gosh. We are going to create a graphic, Steve, where we are going to put Steve's pull quotes on movie posters, we're going to put them on our Facebook page. I love it. All right. That is Spaceman. Well, we're here broadcasting live and smelling a delicious, delicious smell right now coming as our friends at the Megaplex Theaters are showing us some of the things that you can order because, you know what, just getting popcorn and a drink at a movie, which is, of course, delicious.
Which I've noticed that you've
really
enjoyed.
And I have already eaten a bucket of popcorn. But
small
that's
bucket.
So 1980s. That's so 1990s. We're in 2024.
Yeah.
When you come to a movie theater, you're going to need more than a little bit of popcorn. So, Jeff, what have you got for us here?
Well, let's see. This is. You think about it. Dune's a 2.5-3 hour movie. By the time you're turning, you know, parking and everything else, so you gotta have food. So these. We brought over samples, the classic burger, which I think they added bacon and cheese on this one, so it's lovely to have that one back on the menu.
Okay, so today's the day I undo half of the...
Well, these are health foods. These are popcorn's a vegetable. And then we've got the Sriracha Chicken BLT, which is a new...
Oh, okay, just I gotta take a bite of that.
A great,
no question.
A great chicken filet, breaded with a little bit of... just a touch of heat. It's very nice. And then we'll be bringing over some of our new funnel fries and donut holes. So just a few things to sample.
But one of the cool things, and this is something that I've noticed, is, you know... Also gone are the days of having to go up to the ticket taker, or the, not ticket taker, you still do that, but to buy the tickets, you don't have to go up to the person at the box office, stand outside freezing your tail off while you wait in line to get your ticket. You go right in, and then you've got these kiosks where you get the ticket, super easy, you pick your seat, but on that same screen, you can order your food there, and then you tell them where your seat is, and guess what? You don't have to stand in line and wait for your food.
Even easier, you can order it ahead of time on the Megaplex mobile app. Right there on the screen, just as you choose, right here in the upper corner.
So what you're saying is it's like a kiosk in your hand?
You can choose all of your food, and you can either have it delivered to your seat or pick up at the counter.
Yeah, if you got a few minutes before your movie starts, you can probably pick it up. But the point, you don't have to wait in line to order. No. The only thing you have to wait for is for it to get made, and because it's made fresh.
And then we'll either text you or call your name as it's ready. Or, like I said, we can deliver it right to your seat, which is another thing.
That's the part I like.
Because the joy is you're coming out. Let's have some fun, shall we?
And it might be Jeff Whipple.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You're in Jordan Commons, it might be Jeff Whipple delivering your food to your
seat. I have actually helped a guest or two along the way. We all have. Because you get your hands full and you've got your wrangling kids.
Well, it's a team.
We get
it's
that.
A team effort here.
That's right.
But you know what? Dinner and a movie, you can do them both at the Megaplex theaters.
That's the magic.
And you get a good dinner.
The food is great. We will invite you to test and take our word. You don't have to take our word for it. You can take these for a test.
I'm not going to be taking word for any more of this stuff.
See, some things you just have to find out for yourself.
So those are the things that you can have at Megaplex Theaters. This is the day to do it. This is the weekend. If you haven't been to the movies since Christmas, this is the time to come back. Come see Dune Part 2. There are tickets available. Jeff, you said that as screenings sell out tonight, you guys will add more screens if necessary and more showtimes.
That's another piece of the magic is you can see exactly where you're going to sit either by checking out the website or the mobile app. You can see what showtimes are available. Choose the format. Choose the seat type. We've got luxury recliners at all of across Jordan Commons. We're adding more recliners to multiple locations. Great weekend to come catch a movie.
And I can't wait. We're going to talk about the D-Box seats here in one of our as we come talk to you again. But
you need seatbelts on those, by the way.
All of those things at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. Come see Dune Part 2 there.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5.
And the movie show Top 10 is sponsored by Call Climate Services. From repair to replacement and installation, callclimate.com. Steve, our top 10, as we were talking just a bit ago, The Chosen, episodes 4 through 6.
Yeah, that's
so 4
that's,
through 6, yeah.
And it's made $9 million, so that's just gravy.
That's just cash on top of everything else. Number 9 is The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. This has to be, no question, considered a success.
Oh, yeah. They didn't spend that much money to make this. It's made $151 million worldwide.
And you liked it.
I thought it was
a
kid.
You're a Jason Statham fan, but you also
liked
it. I am.
It was over the top. I'll admit that, but Jason, come on.
Number 8, Drive Away Dolls. I did not like this at all.
I didn't care for it either. It made $3.1 million and $229,000 foreign. So that's...
I wonder of a per screen average if that was a big wide release. Here's one that's been since Christmas in the top 10. Wonka, still there.
$618 million.
This is
11 weeks in release, and it's still going strong.
And it is coming to streaming this month.
Oh, it is?
Heads up, yeah.
They probably want to slide that back.
Number 6, Argyle.
Argyle's doing okay. I mean, it's 42 domestic, 46 foreign at $88 million.
I got accosted by relatives at a funeral because I didn't give Argyle a high enough grade.
Uh-oh.
They liked it more than I did.
Well, that's their
choice.
It was
a C-minus for me.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, then five, Migration, speaking of a movie that manages the family-friendly fare that just stays on the top 10.
$270 million in 10 weeks. I mean, that's a slow cooker right there.
Yeah. Number four, Madam Web.
Okay, this one's cooking, but not for the right reasons.
You liked it a little more than I did, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't either. $79 million, though, in 2 weeks release, that's not hideous.
We got to see Jack Reacher Cry in Ordinary Angels, our number three movie.
And more people need to see this. It only made $8.2 million domestic, no foreign, so go see Ordinary Angels.
Yeah, let's say this.
Larry's got something to say.
And I was just going to note that six of, like, the top 10 locations in the nation were megaplex
for Ordinary Angels.
So Utah came out and really supported that film.
That's okay. Cool.
Good to hear that. So the rest of the nation needs to listen to you, Steve. That's what it is. Then we've got number two, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, to the Hashira training.
Yes.
Which I'm pretty sure that's what it means.
13 domestic, 22 foreign, $35 million.
That's the alternative programming we're talking about. And then number one, no surprise for a second straight week, Bob Marley, One Love.
Really strong, 76 domestic, 49 foreign, for a total of $124 million in 2 weeks.
I liked it. The only drawback for me was it just being difficult to understand some of the dialogue.
Throw some subtitles on there. It wouldn't kill you.
It would really help. So that is our movie show top 10. Steve, we do have a couple of other movies we were hoping to get to this hour that we'll try to fit in right now. First is, and we're not going to play sound for these just because I don't think we're going to have enough time, Code 8 Part 2. This one is on Netflix. It's a sequel to what was a partially crowdfunded action movie called Code 8 from back in 2019.
Right.
It's set in a world where some people are born with superhuman abilities, kind of like the X-Men, and those who have powers are brutally regulated because they're basically living weapons.
Right.
And they explain this at the beginning of Code 8 Part 2. The movie stars real-life brothers Stephen Amell and Robbie Amell. Stephen, best known for playing the Green Arrow on TV.
Oh, that's who he is.
Yeah. Code 8 Part 2 doesn't actually say that the characters are brothers, but they look really similar to each other.
Yeah.
And the movie never says they aren't brothers either.
That's true.
I was trying to pay attention for that. But anyway, the story is after a girl witnesses the murder of her brother and the subsequent cover-up, a teenage girl with powers seeks the help of Robbie Amell's ex-con and his former partner, Steven. And they have to face off with some corrupt police officers who have these advanced robot dogs that prevent themselves, because the robot dogs aren't what were promised. They're doing nefarious, sinister things. For me, it was a C-.
Yeah, it's not great. Robo dogs.
Kind of cool, though.
Well, of course, you know, they will never harm you once you put your hands up. You know, like
like the Ed 209, only in dog form. From
like, come
RoboCop.
On, man. The first one they finally encounter, he just blows them away. I'm like, okay, that's not going
to
work.
So that is Code 8 Part 2 on Netflix. And then, do you think, Steve, should we try to review Iwaju, or should we save that one for... We should give that one a little bit more time. So
yeah.
That is Code 8 Part 2. Let's see if we've got another really short one we can try to hurry and jam in. How about the Tourist Season 2? We got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Instead of in Australia, now they're back in Ireland. It's Jamie Dornan and the young woman that plays with him. She was a cop in Australia. They've moved the whole thing to Ireland for some reason. I didn't get a chance to see it, but it does start today. If you liked the
this
Tourist...
This is on Netflix.
I'm sure.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
The Tourist
If you liked
season
the first
two.
One, you know, he kind of lost his... He didn't have a... Couldn't remember stuff. So, yeah, there it is.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter melon on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's Sorry. The movie show, and we are broadcasting live from the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. We're at the location at Jordan Commons. And there, I'm trying to get my volume to where it sounds right in
my
ear.
I've been eating pancakes now once a week because of that stupid sounder right there. Flapjacks. Like, well, you know what sounds good?
Pancakes. I think I'm going to get some on Friday afternoon after the movie show. I don't know why. Well, we got a lot of streaming stuff to cover this week, Steve. We actually already kind of technically began that portion when we talked about Spaceman and Code 8 Part 2.
Well, but when you got Dune coming out, it pretty much the landscape parts the Red Sea.
They're like, you know what? Maybe we'll just go big on streaming, all these media companies are. So we do have a lot of things. In fact, Disney has something out on Disney Plus called Iwaju.
Welcome to Lagos, Nigeria.
Turn up, your daddy has done well for himself. This is how to fish in large rivers.
Auntie, where's my daughter? She's your responsibility. Find her.
So this is set in a technologically advanced future version of Lagos, Nigeria. Right. In fact, Iwaju, the name of the series, I don't know if you knew this, it means future in Yoruba, which is a native people who live in Nigeria.
Huh.
So it actually is the Yoruba word for future.
Well, how nice.
Isn't
well,
that kinda
cool? Definitely has flying cars and stuff. So
it does. It's got some the stuff that we hope for in Back to the Future in this version of Lagos.
The Jetsons in Nigeria.
Exactly. Well, it follows a headstrong young girl who's also really kind, though. It's important to note that she's headstrong but kind. And her name is Tola. Her dad, whose name is Tunde, is a talented engineer, and they live on what's called the island portion of Lagos.
It's where all the rich people live.
Exactly. And then as opposed to on the mainland where the rest of the people live.
The riffraff.
But when Tola gets kidnapped by a local crime lord named Bode, Tunde has to unleash his top secret project, Otin, this little lizard chameleon-looking robot thing that's programmed to save people.
Yeah.
To kind of help save Tola. I thought it was a pretty cute series. It's fairly quick, too. Most of the episodes are less than a half an hour. It's made by native Nigerians who partnered with Disney Animation.
Yes, I know. That's really bizarre. And I think, you know, kudos to Disney. I mean, they're looking for great storytellers around the world, no matter where they are. I thought it was kind of weird, though, that they chose the idea that they wanted to present. And Nigeria has a problem with kidnapping. It's a serious problem, and they've thrown it into this little cartoon.
Well, they wanted to depict. There's a companion to these six episodes called Iwaju: A Day Ahead, which is basically how this series came about. And
right.
Marvel was searching, and not Marvel, Disney. And these the guys who made Iwaju had done a comic book with some, you know, African-based superheroes, and,
right.
and Disney's like, hey, let's partner.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly cool. I just thought that story was a little dark for
it was a little on the nose.
Yeah, like really, we're gonna go into this, but it's gorgeous. I mean, it's a fun little experience. It's not gonna take much of your time. Maybe six episodes?
Six episodes that are less than a half hour each.
Yeah, and just like you know, a couple out 3 hours of content, it's totally fine. And it takes you to a part of the world that we probably have not experienced that much, except in you know. Movies that try to depict that, you know,
yeah,
Nigeria.
This is something that's depicted by people from there who want to represent their culture. And obviously they're not afraid of the negative part, too, or they wouldn't have included the
kidnapping
issues.
Well, yeah, a little dirt doesn't hurt. But
For me, I thought the only potential slight drawback, and it's easily remedied, is by going a similar problem with Bob Marley One Love, is by keeping it authentic.
Oh, that's
they
true.
Have the characters, a couple of the characters speak a lot of pidgin English. And
yeah.
they talk about it, you know, in fact, Tola, the girl, tries to speak pidgin and her friend is like, don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it represents the culture.
Yes.
And I think that's what's
perfect.
But
we can turn on the subtitles because it's
on
Disney+.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that.
That's what makes it an advantage over Bob Marley is that, and that will help. But again, it's cute, it's safe for the fam, and we enjoyed it.
I did too.
That's Iwaju on Disney Plus. All right, Steve, let's talk about Shogun.
Ooh. Death is in our air, and sea and earth. Just remember, we live and we die. We control nothing beyond that.
Now, on the other end of the family-friendly spectrum is Shogun.
I'm not sure family-friendly would be the right.
That's what I'm saying. On the other end of the spectrum, as in the opposite of family-friendly.
Yeah.
Shogun. And now, if you've heard that name before, there was a Richard Chamberlain TV miniseries in 1980 that was based on a book written
in
1975.
Huge, by the way.
It was very huge.
Yeah.
This is that story, yes, only in 2024. So you've got better production quality. You've got more native actors. And is Richard Chamberlain British? I mean, his name sounds
either
British.
Australian or British.
Okay, but these guys, they get some pretty authentic, both on the Japanese side and on the other characters. It's set in 1600, and it's told from the perspective of a British guy named John Blackthorne, who's a sailor who, well, I don't want to give away too much, because you're only going to be able to see the first two episodes right now when you stream it.
Yeah.
But he plays a key role, even though it seems like it's just about Japanese culture. It is, but it's also from this John Blackthorne perspective, and boy, they went for realism on this.
Well, yeah, there's
realism.
A lot of, yeah, you get chopped up pretty good if you mess with some of these dudes. I like this a lot. I'm really looking forward to the rest of it. I've seen the first two episodes,
and I've just seen the first one,
and I just thought the arrogance of the Spanish and the Portuguese to divide up the world in half, and Japan just happens to fall on the Portuguese side, but they want to bring in Christian leadership. And the Japanese don't know that, and they're like, oh, hold on a second. And the guy who's bringing them all this information is the next James Bond, his voice. Did you catch his voice?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he may or may not be, but
oh.
He just has one of those. Okay. He's like, I'm James Blackthorne. Like,
well,
cool.
But the word shogun is the top of the Japanese feudal ruling
right.
class.
Oh, yeah.
And
this
chain.
Is,
so, and that's... That's what this is going to build towards, is who's going to be the shogun.
In a weird way, it's almost like Dune, because you have these various houses, these fiefdoms in Japan, and they're trying to figure out, they had a shogun, but he died, so now who fills that vacuum?
And somebody said it's kind of like Game of Thrones in Japan.
Oh, okay.
And I know I never watched Game of Thrones, but as I watched Shogun, knowing what I knew about Game of Thrones, and I'm just speaking content-wise, I was like, oh, this is a very apt description. But also, you know, power and violence.
Yeah, the power
and
struggles, yes.
So that is Shogun. It is rated for mature audiences, and it is
That's
streaming
true.
On Hulu.
What days do they come out, though? This
Tuesdays.
Season? That's right.
So the two episodes are there, and then every Tuesday.
And that's on FX and Hulu.
Yeah. So if you have FX cable, you can watch it, but it's also streaming on Hulu. That is called Shogun. Now, there's one on Apple TV Plus that is also a quote-unquote period piece called The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin.
I blew
the most famous highwayman in all of England.
You are literally about to be hanged, you idiot.
Quick note to my gang. If you were planning a rescue, now would be a good time.
So, first of all, I watched the episode. It's funny.
Just the first one?
Yeah, I only got through... No, maybe I got through two. But, I knew it was coming out, so I didn't really look anything up about it. I just started watching it,
yeah.
And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Then I went and did a little research. Dick Turpin's a real person.
Oh, yeah.
In English history.
That's right. He's like Robin Hood, kind of.
And they've made, like, four movies about him over the course of the years.
Oh.
Like, actual movies, Hollywood movies about Dick Turpin. So... I promise you, none of the movies were presented the way this series is presented.
Oh, no.
It feels like Mel Brooks.
This has got Monty Python written all over it. That British humor. I mean, when he's like, takes over the little gang of highwaymen, and he goes, all right, we're going to go on three.
That's right.
And the carriage goes by
like,
when he gets to two.
And the
he goes,
carriage goes
all
by.
Right, we'll get the next one. You know, it's just, it's hilarious. And it's kind of sweet. It's fun. You know, the guy that plays Dick Turpin, he's just a complete goofball. Has great hair.
Yep.
And it's just funny.
And here's the thing. Hugh Bonneville.
Yes.
Hugh Bonneville is not like he is on Downton Abbey
at
all.
He's the bad
guy. Very funny.
He's very
funny. And he's got his teenage or his 10-year-old son that tags along with him.
Yeah. Oh, it's really well done.
Please stop that as the kid's like. Anyway, it's just totally silly.
And then all the members of his little crew are hysterical. So this is a definite watch, Apple TV Plus.
And it is called The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin. All right. So when we come back, we'll go with the last couple of streaming things, including one called American Conspiracy that got me wrapped up, and I ended up watching all of it.
I've only seen the first two and a half, one and a half.
I watched all of it. And then some new Megamind stuff that's come to Peacock. So we'll talk all about that when we get back on the movie show. But... let's turn our attention back to theaters, and during the break, I was taken to the next level of the Megaplex food experience.
Oh, wow.
And I ate what I thought were like little churro fries.
Funnel fries.
But they're called funnel fries.
They're funnel
which I
cakes.
Guess that is kind of a little churro.
Yeah, little
it's
bit
not shaped as a star.
Right.
But then my dipping sauce was some delicious vanilla ice cream, soft serve.
Next level.
I mean, that's... That yeah. made my pupils dilate.
It's one of the joys of this job is occasionally we get to test drive this stuff before we roll it out. Ooh. And it's a privilege.
Wait, so this is not something people
can get
yet? Oh,
no. This is available now. So we brought
Jeff,
you the...
This is the type of stuff that chefs do.
And we have a culinary team that develops these recipes, that tests things to see, not only for flavor and presentation, but can we manage these in a dark theater?
Exactly.
So
These
can be executed just fine. So the sandwiches, the sriracha chicken BLT,
yum.
The classic hamburger with or without bacon and cheddar. That's
sriracha chicken. Sweet and just like you said, like the
just
you
a
said
touch.
That like a chef with just a touch of fire.
A sous-son.
And it was just enough.
And they go to those levels. We will test drive things. We will look through different menu options. Plus we have the other fare that we offer all the time. The sweet pork nachos, which are amazing. We have the Pizza Hut pizzas, obviously. So we're constantly looking at things. Plus, we're expanding our menus because we are also expanding our offerings. We've got two new projects in active development, one in St. George and one out at Daybreak, where we're expanding the Megaplex brand to include a full-on entertainment complex that includes the movie theaters, the bowling, the arcade, all the things that people are doing. And we will be ramping up the food offerings there as well.
Think about this. We are at the original Megaplex Theater right now. 25 years. By the way, happy birthday to Megaplex. 25 years in 2024.
Has it really been 25 years?
It has been. Coming up in November, we will celebrate officially 25 years.
Doug keeps talking about how we were here when they were sweeping up the sawdust.
It is a fine tradition. Every time we invite you guys for a grand opening, we're somewhere dusting and sweeping in the background.
What? That's great. Because you guys treat your guests so well. Of course you wouldn't leave a mess.
So we've got,
but 25 years, and here's something that you hear it as a catchphrase in ads, but it sounds like this is true. You ain't seen nothing yet.
We buckle up. We have active in development a number of projects. We just completed a complete renovation, luxury makeover up in our Ogden location at the Junction, 100% luxury seating, a Dolby Atmos. Auditorium, our Platinum X format there.
We've actually had listeners text us to pass you on the message that they love the new Megaplex Theater in Ogden.
It is extraordinary. Legacy Crossing is under similar renovations.
And by the way, that wasn't that old.
Ogden. Yeah.
What, it was like 10, maybe?
11 years. Geneva is going through a similar renovation. It is turning 9 years old this week.
Unbelievable.
So we are taking full advantage. Things are just, we're having so much fun and more to come, which is great.
Well, these are the kinds of things that if you haven't been to a Megaplex Theater in a while, or any theater in a while, right? You know, we had the big Christmas rush, and then let's be honest, not necessarily the greatest set of films, because when you really want to do it right, you want to have a cinematic experience. And Dune Part 2 is a cinematic experience, and it's absolutely worth seeing in the theaters. And I'm telling you right now, if you're like, I'm going to wait and watch it on my home theater, look, I bet you have a great home theater, whoever I'm talking to right now. But you don't have a home theater that equals the IMAX seating here at Jordan Commons.
To give you some perspective, the IMAX screen just at Jordan Commons is 6 stories tall and... What? No, 6 stories wide, 4 stories tall. It's 4,000 square feet, one continuous piece of fabric, a 300-pound subwoofer buried behind the screen that gives you that concussion.
This is why the sandworm moved Steve out of his seat.
Well, if you stand against that wall, it'll throw you.
And the level of detail, we're so grateful to be part of the Miller organization. The Miller family has been extraordinary as far as investing in the experience for community. The Miller family loves coming to movies. And the reason they're in the business in the first place is because Larry and Gail wanted a place to go on date night and remind them of what they were doing when they were young.
And so that's why here you've got Main Street, Salt Lake City.
It is an homage to what they were going through when they were teenagers. And the commitment is to provide a great gathering place for families.
And for a 25-year-old theater, it looks like it just opened yesterday.
The entire building has luxury seats. The IMAX is a little bit different. There's luxury seating in the IMAX.
Yeah, and Steve always gets it first.
In order to preserve the projection.
Get there early enough.
But, you know, we've got the Platinum X experience with luxury seating and just so many different offerings. The technology, the experience, hopefully, is spot on for every guest every time. We're not perfect, but we're certainly working on it.
So get your tickets to Dune Part 2 and come see it at one of the many Larry H. Miller Megaplex theaters.
Or Outlaw Posse.
Or Outlaw Posse.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
The KSL Movie Show live from Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters at the Jordan Commons location. 25 years old this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
First movie I saw here, I believe, was Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
So it took me a year or two to get over here. But I lived in Davis County at the time, so getting down here was a little bit more difficult. Now they have a Megaplex Theater in Centerville. So, all right, Steve, let's review. We're still on streaming. American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders.
Reporter Danny Casolaro was found dead over the weekend in a motel in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Local authorities quickly ruled his death a suicide.
It didn't sit right in my mind. I'm thinking they killed him.
This series was really engrossing. First of all, I'm starting to admit that Netflix does true crime stuff really well.
Yeah.
They pick the right projects that are interesting. They put money behind it. And, I mean, I'm watching this, and it's a true story. A journalist dies in a West Virginia motel, and they rule it suicide. But the family's like, I don't think it was suicide, especially because he told us a couple weeks ago, if it looks like it was an accident, it wasn't an accident.
Yeah, if something happens to me in the next little while.
Yeah.
And the fact that he slit his wrist 8 times, who does that? Who can even be around that long?
Yeah.
So it's very suspicious.
So there's a lot of suspicious stuff, but it's ruled case closed. The evidence is sealed.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's working on a story that, it gots a lots of levels.
Well, that's why they call it the Octopus Murders, because there's connections going in all different directions.
Yeah.
Some of them have to do with Ronald Reagan?
Yes. What ends up happening is this documentary is some filmmakers who hear about the story and they decide they're going to follow the same leads that Danny Casolaro did.
Which seems like a mistake because he's dead.
Right. And it's just, it becomes an all-encompassing thing. It goes in all these different directions. I don't want to give it all away, but it was really interesting. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this happened. Like, we should know about this. And then they'd show a news report from, like, TV News in 1981 where they reported on it. I was like, oh, well, they already did. Man, this is something people should, oh, wait, they already knew about it.
But they didn't labor on it. They just would report it, and then nobody
would
talk.
Well, because there was nothing to connect, and there weren't any people to. But as it goes along, and you didn't see the third episode, right?
Not yet, no.
Okay, and I did. I thought the ending was, it was a little disappointing, but also, as I thought about it after, it was strangely appropriate. So yeah, you'll know what I mean when you watch it, but.
Michael
Rascioli Pruscioto.
Yeah, he had a really weird name, but everything he said sounded crazy, but turned out to have some background, like the paper trail. I don't know why people leave paper trails.
I'll tell you what, though, as you watch this and when you finish it, you will feel like you went on the same journey as Danny Casolaro and the filmmakers.
Yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't have like a full resolution like you might want. But again, I think it works. So that is American Conspiracy.
If you like conspiracies, it's going to knock you on your socks.
This will give you your fix.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This one is, it wasn't rated, but I think it was TVMA just for some language.
I think there's some language.
And they do show some crime scene photos.
That's true.
So that's one. We had somebody asking about the completely made up adventures of Dick Turpin on the text line. What is that rated?
It's rated,
I think it's rated MA. I don't recall anything particularly objectionable, but it didn't seem like they were worried about dropping adult language.
Yeah, I don't have it listed.
We'll try to find that, and we'll let you know what it was.
It's rated pretty darn funny.
Yes. Okay. So that is the American Conspiracy of the Octopus Murders, and that is our big streaming for the week. When we come back on the movie show, we will do Telephone Torture, so get ready. It's going to be a desert-themed movie. Really quick before we go to break, though, let's bring back in our friends from the Megaplex Theaters. And we were talking about Dune, and we were talking about leaning up against the wall and having it push you out because of the reverberation and the sound.
Yeah.
I, within the last few months, got to experience my first ever D-Box seat at a movie, and it was Godzilla Minus One. And it was Godzilla Minus One times a factor of 10 by sitting in the D-Box seats. And so I'm just saying, like, I was always like, oh, man, I can't imagine. What? Why do I need my seat to vibrate when I watch a movie? I was kind of like Mr. Skeptical Joe. But I sat in it for the movie, and it was so intense that I was like, nobody can see me as I turn down the vibration on this chair because this is starting to freak me out.
It's based, the technology is based on a flight simulator. So there are six actuators, left, right, front, back, up, down. And so as the action on the scene, on the screen is happening, the seat is programmed frame by frame to mimic the sensation of what's happening.
And it banked,
if it
my
banks
seat
to the
banked.
Left, you feel like you're going to the left.
When, you know, you would feel this in a regular seat, you know, the sound of a propeller going, you'd feel just the vibrations of the sound waves. But then you're in the seat and it's vibrating in the same rhythm as the, like, it's like you're in the plane.
Well, the other interesting thing is we've got luxury D-Box seats here at Jordan Commons, so you can actually recline a little bit. And if your feet are off the ground, it takes it to a whole nother level.
Well, my son, he came with me and he leaned over, Dad, is it okay if I turn off the vibration on this seat? And I was like, yes. But first he said, Dad, how important is it that you see this whole movie? Because he was freaked out by the D-Box seat. And once he turned it off, he was okay.
Once we were watching a romantic movie, I think it was Theater 19, and the D-Box seats were just left empty because it's a romantic movie. But the seats were like, whoa. They were swaying back and forth. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Now I kind of wanted to move forward.
It's a little bit fun because when we have school groups here, we can kind of wake up the seats and they'll go through their reset and – yeah, it's like the kids wake up chairs.
Oh, really? Well, I was going to say, I was thinking as I was watching Dune in the IMAX that I would like to see this with the D-Box and just to see how the chair reacts to, because there's some big stuff that happens.
We have guests that sort of take a passport book approach to seeing films. They want to see and experience these movies in different formats, whether it's in IMAX, whether it's in Dolby Atmos, whether it's in one of our Platinum X auditoriums, or whether it's in D-Box or something else. For that very reason, because it can be a different experience based on how
if you want to ride a sandworm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
That's exactly
In the movie, this is your chance to do it.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
And it is time for telephone torture, and today we're going to torture you by making you think of all the desert movies you've ever seen, because Steve has picked one of them that we will ask you questions about, and we want to, you'll have a chance to win an awesome Megaplex prize. And since we're at the Megaplex theaters, why don't we let our Megaplex friends tell us what you could win on Telephone Torture. Before you do, here's the number you need to call, 801-575-TALK, 801-575-8255. If you want to have the chance to win what, Jeff Whipple?
Well, we have the traditional prize, so it's a nice date night. That's fine. We can do that for you. Or if you want to experience Dune the Megaplex way, we'll hook you up with a couple of tickets to see the new Dune Part 2 in either an IMAX or a Platinum X experience. At a Megaplex location. We'll also throw in the souvenir popcorn tub, the drink cups, the souvenir drink cups, and some other items that our friends at the studios have shared with us. So
what you're saying is you get the date night already, but you also get the Dune stuff.
Recognizing that not everyone may want to participate, so we will provide the other if necessary.
Let's remind, I gave Dune Part 2 an A. And it is my movie of the year so far, and it will take a grand effort to knock it out of first place. I'm not trying to oversell which prize package they should pick. But
of course not.
They should. And this is one time where Steve has not let me see, and I can't even cheat and look at our rundown to see what the answer is. And we should mention also, guys, you're filmed in Utah this week. Is it Cheyenne Autumn?
Cheyenne Autumn.
Or was that last week? That's this week. Does that sound right, guys?
Yeah, this is the last John Ford Western, and it's long.
Okay. But so that's Cheyenne on the film in Utah series. But it's only a buck to see it.
Yeah.
Do it. Check out these movies that were filmed in Utah on the big screen. All right, Steve.
Yep.
Do we have our first potential winner or victim on the line? Hello. Who's this? This is no one. And they heard desert movie and immediately hung up their phones. We're scaring
Seriously?
People. Steve,
Come
they
on.
Know that you're not going to be – you're going to pick something like – You know, the rabbit jumped over the fence.
It's called Rabbit Proof Fence, and it was a great movie.
It's a sandstorm. They're still out there. They're just getting unburied.
It's not Tremors.
Okay, who's this? We have our first contestant. And remember that we're going to read off our first clue.
Yeah, let's do that.
And if you think we're going to take, if you text 57500 if you think you know the answer, Steve, somebody already guessed one, and I want to see if they got it before they even got a clue.
That would be awesome.
Sahara with Humphrey Bogart.
No. But great guess.
Good guess.
Okay. Wow. So it is not it's not Sahara with Humphrey Bogart. So the texture who sent that in, make another guess.
Wait, can right. I give you a clue?
Wait, do we have someone on the phone?
For the love.
We do not. 575-TALK, 801-575-8255. They're all hanging up because they don't want to be the first question.
All right, I'll give them the easy question. Two songwriters lost in a Moroccan desert.
I know it already.
Thinks they're they each think they're CIA agents, when in fact they're just really terrible at writing songs and performing them. I mean, come on. That gives
okay.
it away.
That gives it away. We have texts coming in, Steve. Is it The Mummy?
Don't you have to ask Corey?
Well, no, somebody texted in The Mummy.
Oh, I know, but I thought
it was Corey,
allowed
is The
to.
Mummy a correct answer on the text line?
Negative Ghost Rider?
Okay, guys, we've texted in Mummy. Right, you're wrong.
Here's the second clue.
Wait. We got someone on the line.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if they know it after one. And if
all
they
right.
don't, we'll even let them hear the second
clue.
That
was an easy clue.
Okay, who's this?
This is Russ.
Russ, do you think you know the answer based on Steve's first
he
clue?
He sounds older. He's been around.
It actually cut over to the radio from to the phone, so I didn't hear it with the delay.
Okay, so two songwriters are in the desert, and they think they're CIA agents, but they're not. They're just bad songwriters.
Right.
Okay.
And we have got, I'm thinking we have the correct answer that has come in on the text line.
I'm sure you do.
All right, so he's going to give you another clue, Russ.
Okay, you ready, Russ?
Ready.
By the way, this is Martin Scorsese. He calls this one of his favorite movies of all time.
Okay, and this is Martin Scorsese who hates Marvel movies.
Exactly. But this movie is so bad that the Gary Larson did a Far Side cartoon featuring what he called Hell's Video Store, and it had nothing but copies of this film.
I remember that one.
And he felt bad about it because he finally watched the movie, and he goes, it wasn't that bad.
All right, Russ, what do you think?
Oh, man. From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Ooh,
well, that is in the desert. Quentin
Tarantino.
A little
vampire love going
is
there.
Is that correct, Corey? No. Russ, we applaud you for calling in because everybody else chickened out and you stepped up.
That's right.
And you said, I will take a shot at this. So good luck to you, and we will give one more chance because we do have a correct answer on the text line. One more caller. If you think you know it, here is your chance to beat out our texters.
Okay, the two songwriters are played by Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman. I mean, I might as well just give it
this,
to you.
The title sounds like it's Pig Latin.
What is wrong with you? It's just a regular of a country, kind of.
That doesn't exist.
Maybe not.
All right, do we have a caller? Because if not, we're going to give it to the texter.
Oh,
we got somebody. Who's this? Russ.
This is Bo.
This is Bo. Bo, do you know the answer?
I think so.
Okay, what do you got?
Is it Ishtar?
Is that correct, Corey? Well, we're going to say yes.
A little dramatic effect there.
All right, Bo, congratulations. What is what is your guess? Which prize pack do you want? You want the Dune 2 prize pack, or do you want just the regular date night prize pack, which, by the way, is awesome because it's at a Megaplex Theater. But
nothing.
Definitely the Dune one. Definitely.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. Stay on the line, and Gustavo and Corey will get your information, and then they'll make sure that you get a chance to see Dune Part 2 at the wonderful Megaplex Theater.
By the way, Ishtar, also, Quentin Tarantino's loved it. Edgar Wright loved it.
Okay, so my friend is letting me borrow it in
really?
A week or so.
Why?
Well, he showed me his list, and that was one of them. And I was like,
$55 million,
I should see this.
$55 million to produce, made $14 million.
That's why it's considered the bomb, not necessarily because of the quality, but only because of the return on the investment.
Well, it's also really kind of a silly movie.
All right. Well, Ishtar was the answer. If you've never seen it, it's probably streaming somewhere for free, right?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, we're grateful to our friends
at Valeria. I don't mock your movies. Come on.
Yes, I do.
You picked the worst movie, what's generally considered the biggest bomb.
No, I was
going to
pick
time.
Rubber,
emotional
which
damage.
Is a serial killer serial killer spare tire in the desert.
Oh,
Rubber.
That's true. You did consider that.
I would have gone with that in a heartbeat. That is the greatest slasher movie of all time.
Well, that's congratulations sad. To everybody who texted in the correct answer. I'm sorry we can't give you a prize this time, but keep it at it and keep texting us. By the way, if you've seen Dune Part 2, text us your one-sentence review at 57500, and if we have time, we'll read it by the end of the show when we get into rapid fire, Steve.
Okay, sure.
For people who did the great thing and went and saw it last night, or maybe we're at the screening
the
we gave away tickets to that was on Monday that we went
to.
Oh, yeah. We'll do all of that. But thank you guys at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters for always sponsoring Telephone Torture and giving away such awesome prizes.
It is a thrill every week.
And
it's fun. We actually play along and kind of compete amongst ourselves to see who's
by the way, who got it first out of you and Larry?
I was going to offer phone a friend or something because I feel bad when people don't nail it the
and
first
see,
time.
And see, here's
out.
The thing. The Megaplex loves you so much that they feel bad when you don't win.
It's true. It's Blake true. Used to hate it when we call people losers. Oh, he did not like
you
that
get a prize and you get a prize.
Yes. He wanted to get all Oprah.
Well, okay then. Jeff, we got winners on the people that knew the answer on the text line before our callers did. Should we find someone and give them the other prize?
We may know a guy, so we could probably take care of him.
So keep an eye on your phone, to those of you who texted in Ishtar, before 12:45 p.m. We can see the timestamp, so don't send us an avalanche.
And come see it doing it Megaplex rather than watching Ishtar. You'll be glad you did.
That, I believe I can say without having seen Ishtar, that I believe. But what are the great things you can get at Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters? You can get a mega tub. You guys still have tags and tubs for 2024?
Those sadly are not available now. We're limited supply.
What'd you do, like 20,000 this year?
Oh, closer to 40.
I thought the tags would be unlimited
and the buckets would
run out.
Oh, no.
So we will hopefully be rolling out the 2025 tags here shortly. But, narrow window. And we encourage people all the time, get those tags while they're available. So it's a while supplies last thing. But
I'm devastated.
Well,
I waited, and now I'm paying the price.
Well,
that's how
wait,
it works.
If I take a marker and put a 4 over the 2023 tag, would they spot it?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's okay.
You
it is,
tag
but it
that's
is worth it.
A completely different color from last year to this year.
You know what? They wouldn't notice, right?
The good news is you've got
it as I hold my hand.
Are you trying
to teach
people to cheat?
You've got points in your My Mega Rewards account that will give you free popcorn and discounts on popcorn.
And to be fair, I have noticed that you guys still do when you buy the large tub, you get a free refill of it, and not all theaters do that. I found out the hard way when I stupidly went to another one.
Well,
way to go.
We'll forgive you for that one.
And now I know better.
Megaplex popcorn. Real butter. We also have the non-dairy available if people need that.
The good news is my Mega Mug is still good, though. So we're just talking the popcorn tubs that I missed the window on. But once you get a Mega Mug, that's good for life.
Yeah, that is.
All right. And you guys have freestyle machines. This was the place where I first ever experienced a freestyle machine.
First one outside of Atlanta at this location. Yeah.
What?
Megaplex helped test drive those for Coca-Cola, and we were the first theater operation and first location in the reality world outside of Coke's headquarters.
See? So, and you've got a chef. You fed us a chicken sandwich, a burger. What were they called? Funnel fries.
Funnel fries.
That are basically little tiny churros that you can dip in ice cream. And they're delicious.
That's genius, by the way.
They're amazing.
They're amazing. We have extraordinary.
I don't get
people
who dip actual French fries in ice cream because this is what was designed to be dipped in ice cream.
Yeah,
fried dough with cinnamon on it.
There's some nice food offerings. Check out and try something new, which is the fun part. We're also rolling out some new food specials in the coming weeks. So,
and I'll tell you, it's easy to do. It's just as easy to order your food as you're buying your tickets either on the Megaplex Theaters app or at the kiosk. You can order the food online, too. Like, if you're on the website buying your tickets, you can order the food there,
order ahead, and then you just check in when you get here. Let us know you're here because you don't want to buy your tickets 3 weeks in advance and have us start making that burger right then. So so as soon as you land, you know,
tell us
you're here. Check in. We'll
but
make
you
it for you
buy
fresh.
Your food.
You can.
When you buy your tickets a month in advance. That is even cooler. Ah, I love that. Okay, so quick update. The Daybreak project on schedule for 2025. Is that correct?
I believe so. Last we checked, there are so many things happening. The Daybreak project with the new Megaplex Family Entertainment Center, it will be coming online about, you know, shortly around the same time as the new ballpark out there for the Bees. And then a new project announced for St. George at Desert Color. So we've got those projects happening as well as renovations happening along the Wasatch Front and beyond. So lots of fun things happening at Megaplex Theaters.
Jeff and Larry, thanks for being with us today on the movie show. I mean, this is where it all began for the movie show, too, going out to different locations. It was here.
We have some fun things. We have the best guests in the world. We Utah movie fans are legendary. We have some nice conversations with our friends at the studios about, you know, how is Utah doing what it does, and it's because of our guests.
Well, I know every time a big movie opens, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to call Jeff. I got to find out how Megaplex did.
We're having some fun already with Dune. The numbers are starting to come in, and Utah fans are showing up. We've got new things happening with Oscar preview things. Larry was just talking about the shorts coming to Megaplex locations. So, yeah, if you're a movie fan, come spend some time with us.
All right, and come see Dune Part 2. Experience it on the biggest screen possible. It is absolutely worth it. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, guys.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Well, Steve, before we do rapid fire, we do have one last thing to review, and that is Megamind. There's two Megamind new things coming
out. There's a movie and a series.
Correct.
Right?
So the movie is Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate. It's been 13 years since we had the animated movie Megamind, and so now we get the sequel. And, of course, if you don't remember Megamind, he's an inept bad guy with a heart of gold that turns into a good guy.
This was Will Ferrell's character, right?
Yeah, Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Brad Pitt, and then David Cross was the voice of his sidekick, Minion, which was a fish in a bowl that had like a whole robot suit. Kind of clever, funny stuff. Huh. Again, this was 13, 14 years ago, so if you've forgotten Megamind and you don't have little kids, you probably have forgotten it. But any rate, this new movie takes place just a couple days after the original film, so not all of Megamind's former evil associates have gotten the word that he's a good guy now. And so he has to battle his old gang, the Doom Syndicate, while also having to repair his relationship with his friends because, guess what, his ego starts driving them away.
No.
I know, shocking. Biggest problem with this, though, Steve, was that none of the voices were back, and it made me realize how much they contributed to the original movie.
Oh, yeah.
And none of them are back. So you kind of need to watch this movie, though, because it leads directly into the next thing, because the Megamind Rules is a series that is based off of what happens after that movie, because it introduces some new characters who are then in the series. And if you just jump into the series, you're like, wait, who's that and who's that?
I don't know. You haven't sold me.
I mean, I guess you don't have to. But anyway, I actually thought Megamind Rules, the series, was slightly funnier than the movie because this sort of annoying type of humor works better in small doses.
Sure.
And you can just have a few silly gags instead of trying to have to force it out into a feature-length story. So
gotcha.
Megamind Rules is the series. Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate is the movie. And they are both streaming on Peacock.
Cool.
So rapid fire, Steve. Dune Part 2.
Boy, the concessions for drinks are going to be off the charts. You guys better get your little freestyle machine cooking over there because I guarantee you they're...
And make sure you go to the bathroom before it starts.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I could not wait to hit the bathroom after, but I will say
I agree with what
you said earlier. 2 hours and 45 minutes, you can't leave your seat for a second. Every scene has something important, and you won't want to get up and miss anything.
Did you notice the bloggers next? Oh, to me, you weren't there. They got up like two or three times during the movie. I'm like, how are you going to blog this movie when you missed half of it?
Because they only watch in small bursts, right? That's just gross generalization. All right, Outlaw Posse. I didn't see this one.
What a movie.
Come to the Megaplex Theaters and buy your tickets.
Mario Van Peebles as a bad guy Western. There's some funny bits, but not that many.
A reminder that The Chosen Season 4 Part 3 is now playing, but it is only playing through March 10th. So if you're a Chosen fan, you only have till the 10th to see this last
portion.
You have
to watch these in order. Otherwise, you're not going to... Well, I mean, you'll know
the story.
You
could always read the book, right,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah, that's true.
Then we've got Spaceman.
Spaceman. This is a serious Adam Sandler movie where he gets relationship advice from a giant spider in space.
Worth watching or no?
Well, I was kind of intrigued. And the advice is actually quite sound.
What's your grade?
B-minus.
Okay, B-minus. Oh, that's right. You did give it a B-minus. Code 8, Part 2 on Netflix with the Amell brothers, Steven and Robbie, in an X-Men-type movie. People with powers. I thought it was below average.
The little girl's better than the two dudes.
She was. We've got Iwaju on Disney Plus,
yes,
which was a African cartoon based in Nigeria, and it's pretty good. Pretty good little spy thing.
Yeah, it's
and
fun.
Turn on the subtitles. That'll really help. We've got Shogun.
Shogun, definitely.
On
Start
Hulu.
Watching that. That is the first two are out. And then they'll be coming out subsequent Tuesdays, did you say?
Yes, Tuesdays. It is rated for mature audiences, though, just a heads up. On Apple TV Plus, we have The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin, a half-hour comedy that's a period comedy, but it feels like a Mel Brooks or a Monty Python type of thing.
It's funny British stuff.
American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders on Netflix.
It's going to blow your mind.
Total conspiracy. It will hook you right in. But it may not leave you feeling satisfied by the time you... But, you know,
maybe
I guess
I'm not
that's what
watch
a good conspiracy...
Because
you like it right now.
Yeah.
And then, as I just mentioned, Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, and Megamind rules the series. So that is
next
it.
Next week,
Rapid
Panda.
Fire. Next week, Panda. Kung Fu Panda 4. Thanks to our friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters for hosting us.